Anybody remember the old cartoon Popeye the Sailor Man? Anybody old enough to remember Popeye? Spinach, exactly. I used to watch Popeye when I was a kid. It was my favorite cartoon. And speaking of the spinach, I remember I thought if I ate spinach, I would be as strong as Popeye. And so I talked my mom into getting some spinach, and she got a can of spinach and cooked it, and it smelled horrible. And I took one bite, and I chewed it up, and I spit it out, and ran into the living room and took my finger and lifted the front of the couch and told my mom I lifted the couch because of spinach. But if you remember that show, though, that cartoon, Popeye was always trying to keep his cool. He was always trying to keep his patience until eventually his arch enemy, Bluto, would just push Popeye a little bit too far. And you remember what the line is that Popeye would say when he's pushed too far? I've stands all I could stands, I can't stands no more, right? I've stood all I can stands, I can't stands no more. And he rips the lid off of the can of spinach, and he eats it, and then he's got this amazing strength, unbelievable strength, and he pulverizes Bluto. Every episode's exactly the same. That's what happens in every episode. But have you been there? You know, when your patience has just been pushed to its last limit and you say something like, I can't stands no more. I've stood all I can stands and I can't stands no more, right before you're about to blow. If you've done this before, then guess what? Welcome to the human race. Because we all lose our patience sometimes. We all blow it some of the time. We're in a message series called Do the New. We've been looking at how once we invite Jesus into our lives, we are new creatures. The old is gone, the new is coming. With that newness comes the Holy Spirit taking residence in our heart, and he creates these new attributes, these new qualities, these new characters, this new fruit in our life, and it matures and it grows. And as that matures and grows and these character things take place, we grow in our Christianity and we lead life much better and live the way that Christ would have us live. When we do the new, it means that we get intentional, friends, about maturing and the Holy Spirit's empowerment in our life. That's what we're talking about, being intentional. We find the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And once again, I want to ask you to read those with me, because my hope is there are 9 different attributes here, parts of the fruit, that by the time we're done, you have these memorized. This portion of Scripture, if you've not memorized anything else, hopefully you'll have this memorized. So will you read it with me? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You see, the truth is, with Popeye the Sailor Man, he was never empowered with patience. He was empowered with a long fuse, but he still would blow at the end, right? Today, we're going to be talking about focusing on that part of the fruit of the Spirit called patience, and see what real patience looks like. I did a message series this past fall on patience when we were talking about doing all you can. And I actually got so much positive feedback about that, more than I do generally, that I realized that it must really resonate with folks. This dealing with patience thing must not just come easily to us. It also tells me that we likely can hear a little more about it and this very important topic. And since we're in a message series about the fruit of the Spirit and patience is part of that fruit, then we're going to talk a little more about it today. And if you feel like you've already heard enough about patience, then just to be a little patient with me, okay, as we go a little bit farther and talk some more. Let's pray and prepare to do that today. God, I'm feeling just really excited today, and it kind of started as I was doing some preparation for this morning and for some other messages coming up in this series, and last night in some time of prayer with my wife, just this excitement to see what you're doing here. I don't decide where we're going in messages series as you do, and you've led us to this place, and what you're doing with the fruit of the Spirit is you're honing us. You are shaping us. You're molding us to be more like Jesus for the purpose that you have for us. And that just excites me like crazy. We're in a season of do and doing, and part of that is becoming more of you, and what's going to be produced out of the fruit expanding in our lives, we just have to step back for, because I don't even know what it's going to look like. But I'm just so excited to be where we're at and to talk about this very important attribute of the Spirit available to us called patience. Speak to us about that today, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Friends, here's the interesting thing about the word patience in Greek, because the New Testament was written in Greek, and in Greek, patience, there's no English equivalent word. We use the word patience, it's as close as we have, but there's no one equivalent word. It's a word that means steadfastness under provocation. Steadfastness under provocation. So in other words, it means remaining steadfast even when you're being provoked not to be steadfast. That makes sense? Even when you're being provoked not to be. It's patiently enduring ill treatment without anger or thought of retaliation or revenge. Philip Keller says it's a picture of an ox yoked to a plow, breaking up the stiff soil in the owner's field. No matter whether that plow runs into rocks or stumps or heavy sod, the patient beast just keeps moving steadily on through that soil. So maybe a question for us is, what would you call your rocks today? Your stumps, your heavy sod that's in your life that's messing with that plow that you're slowly plodding through. What is it that irritates you, that gets under your skin and shortens your fuse? What is it that makes you lose your patience most quickly? Let's do kind of a test of our patience by looking at four areas. The first is this. The first test is interruptions. Interruptions. How do you respond to interruptions in your life, to your schedule, to what you're doing? You know what I mean, right? Maybe you're a mother or father who's got little ones at home, and they go through six sets of clothing before lunch, and it's just trying your patience. Maybe you're scurrying to clean the house to get ready for guests, and right before, the kids come and dump the whole toy box right in the middle of the living room floor. Or maybe you just sit down to dinner and the telemarketers begin to call, trying to get you to buy electricity or gas from somebody else. You get off the phone, and then the phone rings again, and it's MasterCard. You've got this pre-approved credit line, $35,000 to this pre-approved credit card, just ready for you. And you get off the phone, it rings again, and now it's Dish Network. They're ready to set up your new Dish satellite. And by the time you get back to your once hot food at dinner, it's now cold. How do you deal with interruptions? You know, with cell phones, a lot of people have dropped the landlines, and that's helped some of the telemarketers, but now they're starting to find our cell phone numbers. How do you deal with interruptions? That's the first test of your patience. Now, whether you're at work or you're at home or you're on the road or wherever, you have patience to think about. We're having this Work as Worship conference coming up on February 23rd. Patience is a big thing there, isn't it? How are you going to deal with patience at work and the interruptions and all the different things? The second test of your patience is inconveniences. How do you deal with inconveniences in life? You're in a hurry to get the groceries checked out and to get home, and there's one lane open at the grocery store. We've all been there, haven't we? And in that lane, there's eight people in front of you. And the person checking out is moving as slow as a snail. And they bink, and then they talk about something else with the customer. And bink, and they talk about something else. And they continue to do that with every person until you get to the place in line. Or you go out to dinner, and you wait 20 minutes just to be seated, another 10 minutes just to have your drink order taken, another 10 minutes to have your food order taken. Your food comes 20 minutes later, and it's not even what you ordered. It's all messed up. My older brother used to be very impatient when we would go out to eat at restaurants as an adult. He may still be that way. I've not been out to eat with him in a few years. But he would sit at the table, and if the food wasn't there in 5 to 10 minutes, he would take his keys out of his pocket and begin to clang them on the table over and over again, letting them know that he was there, and it's going to somehow speed up the cook. It was really embarrassing. Some of you have been with those kinds of situations as well. The truth is that as services get quicker and quicker, Americans become more and more impatient. That's what happens. You'd think that quicker service would make us more patient, but no, it doesn't work that way. They just raise our expectations and make us more impatient. I mean, go figure, right? Here's the third test of your patience. It's irritations. We're talking about those little things that just bug you, you know? We all have them. Here's a list of some irritations. traffic jams. Oh, I can't handle business hour in 04. It is awful. Rush hour, it's terrible. Traffic jams, or you're driving and you on 53 and you get cut off by another car who's passed six cars to get around you, or you're behind a driver who's too slow, or there's a driver that's too fast, or a driver who's too reckless. How about long lines? Does that irritate you? Or phone calls or being placed on hold? When somebody's called you and they place you on hold is especially irritating. Maybe it's misplaced keys, or food that's too cold, or food that's too hot, or food that's too lukewarm. I feel like Goldilocks. Maybe it's occupied bathrooms that irritates you, or too much mail or junk mail, or someone who talks too loud, or someone who talks too soft, and you can never hear what they're saying. Or someone who eats too sloppy or eats too loud, or somebody who has too many odd habits like biting their nails or standing too close or breathing down your neck. Maybe it's neighborhood rock bands. Those are just a few, but you get the idea. Some of these irritations are controllable, but most of them are not. So we have to learn to cope with them, and that takes patience. How is your patience with irritations? Here's the final test. The fourth test of your patience is inactivity. Most of us would rather do anything than just wait, wouldn't we? We can't stand waiting in doctor's office. I already talked about standing in supermarket lines or being confined to bed rest. That's the worst. How many of you have burned the roof of your mouth? I've talked about this before because you can't wait for the pizza to cool. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. Did you know that you'll spend 6 months of your life sitting at red lights waiting for them to turn green? 6 months of your life. How's your patience in times of inactivity? So friends, how'd you do with this patience test? How do you deal with interruptions, inconveniences, irritations, and inactivity? Friends, I think we all fail some of the time, most of us much of the time, in some of these areas. We're pretty familiar with what impatience is, and impatience can have a pretty high price. I heard someone put it this way. When the patience runs out, watch out. When the patience runs out, watch out, because that's when a husband launches a verbal assault on his wife and later hopes she can forget what he said, but it's wounded her heart too deeply. When the patience runs out, watch out, because that's when an exasperated father says to his little boy, look, can't you just hit the ball like all the other little boys hit the ball? And the little guy puts two and two together and reasons that he can't hit the ball like others because he's not normal like other kids. And his self-esteem is scarred. When the patience runs out, watch out. That's when the mother, who's had too long of a day already, says to the daughter, would you just get out of the kitchen, will you? You're only capable of doing, all you're capable of doing is making a mess. And so there goes the thoughts of ever being able to bake and cook like mom can. It's when the employer says to the employee, why do I pay you anyway? I can do so much better. Just get out of my way. And it's when the employer says to the boss, take this job and offer it to another applicant. When the patience runs out, watch out. That's when some real relational, professional, emotional, and spiritual damage can be done, when the patience runs out. So what causes impatience? It's a lack of peace, friends. It's a lack of peace. Maybe that's why God put patience right beneath peace in the order of the fruit of the Spirit, right? We talked about peace last week. When you have peace in your heart, almost nothing can make you impatient. But when you have unrest, you don't have peace in your heart, almost anything can make you impatient. So how can I learn to be a patient person? Scripture supports a four-part answer to that question. The first is this: to develop patience, develop a new perspective. A new perspective. We need to find a new way of looking at the situation or the person that's giving us problems. Patience begins by changing the way you look at something. When I'm impatient, I have a limited perspective. I'm seeing things only by myself, with my desires, my goals, my wants, my schedule, and how maybe you're messing up my life at the moment. The root of impatience is selfishness and pride. So we need a perspective of life that sees things from other people's point of view. Would you like to know the secret of success? Here it is. Here's the secret of success. If you want to be a successful husband or wife, learn to see life from your spouse's point of view. If you want to be a successful parent, learn to see life from your child's point of view. If you want to be a successful businessman or businesswoman, learn to see life from your customer's point of view. If you want to be a successful employer, learn to see life from your employee's point of view. Work is worship, coming up February 23rd. A good opportunity to learn more about that. I'm not saying that you have to agree with another's view, but you need to look at the situation from their perspective and discover why they feel the way they do. I've called that before getting into someone else's skin, not getting under their skin, that's irritating them, but getting into their skin. And I'm telling you that this will change your perspective toward others and situations, and it will increase your patience greatly. But the thing that will even increase your patience greater than this is to look at things from God's point of view. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, it says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook offense. To overlook offense. Notice the word wisdom here. Do you know what wisdom is? It's seeing life from God's point of view, getting God's perspective on the situation. When we look at things from God's perspective, the first thing that we see is this unbelievable amount of patience that God has had and has for you and me. Look at God's incredible patience with us as he's waited for us to repent from our sins and to ask Jesus into our life as our Savior. How many years did you push God to the limit? Some of you may say, well, I came to Christ when I was a kid at age 7 years old. But you know what that means? 7 years that you pushed God off. Some of you didn't come to Christ that early. Maybe you were 17 years old. And that's 17 years that you were pushing against God, not calling him Lord, not worshiping him, not obeying him, not living life to the potential that people made in God's image should live. Some of you maybe were 27 years old. 27 years of pushing against God. Count them. Maybe you were 47 or 57. Pushing against God. Some of you who are here today may still be pushing God to the limits. Some of you may still be defying him. Some of you need to stop running and come to Jesus. And friends, with all of those years of pushing God and defying God, do you know what? He's been patient with us. He's been patient with us. But God's patience for us isn't limited to just before we become a Christian. It doesn't just happen then. It doesn't just stop at conversion. Even after becoming a Christian, we continue to push God's patience, don't we? I know that I do. I became a Christian when I was 18 years old, the summer after I graduated from high school, and since then, I've likely broken all 10 of the commandments, either mentally or physically, multiple times. I've embarrassed God with amazing regularity. I've said immature and inappropriate things in front of hundreds of people. I've made unwise decisions and broken a series of promises. I've been slothful, and I've been overzealous. I've been judgmental, and I've been partial to others. And do you know what? God's been patient with me. My prayer for you and me is that we'll be open to the Holy Spirit so that we'll be overwhelmed by the amazing reality of God's patience towards us before and after we come to Christ, and through this develop a new perspective of patience toward others. God's been exceedingly patient with you and me. So pass it on in your relationship with other people. Perspective. Here's the second way to become a patient person. It's to develop a sense of humor. Develop a sense of humor. Friends, we've got to learn to laugh at our circumstances. We've got to learn to laugh at ourselves sometimes. Somehow, find the fun in the frustrating. The Living Bible paraphrase of Proverbs 14, verse 30 says, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Jealousy rots it away. Let me read that again. A relaxed attitude lengthens a person's life. Jealousy rots it away. Don't you think that God doesn't have a sense of humor? Because he does. He has a great sense of humor. He created humor. In Psalm chapter 2, the first part of verse 4, it says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. Isn't that a great verse? He laughs. Do you want to be more like God? Then learn to laugh. A sense of humor can preserve your sanity. If you can laugh at it, then you know what? You can live with it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Someone once asked Abraham Lincoln how he handled the stresses of the Civil War. You know what he said? He said, develop a good sense of humor and you'll have more patience. More patience. You see, the problem is that most of us take ourselves far too seriously. I know that I do sometimes. We can get all ouchy and insulted by some other's comments that in reality often aren't a big deal. My guess is that half or more of the arguments and hurt among families and friends wouldn't even happen if we could just learn to laugh at ourselves a little bit more and not take ourselves so doggone seriously. I had somebody after our first worship experience today tell me, you know what, I just did this. I've been married to my husband for 52 years, and I let something get to me. She said, you know what it was? It was about dishes. She said, I take myself far too seriously, and sometimes that's what we do. The third way we become patient is this. You need to deepen your love. If you want to really be patient like God is, it has to come out of a deep, deep love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 has become known as the love chapter of the Bible. You've heard it at many weddings. But the first part of verse 4 says this. It says, love is patient. You don't get much more direct than that, do you? Love is patient. Not much more straightforward than that. Do you know what that part of that verse means? I mean, just think it through with me for a moment. If love is patient, then this verse means that when I'm impatient, I'm being unloving. Because love is patient. So every time I'm impatient, I'm not acting in love. When you love someone, you care about his or her needs, his or her desires, his or her point of view, not just yours. When you're filled with love, almost nothing can provoke you to anger or cause you to be impatient. When you're filled with anger, almost anything will provoke you. When you're under pressure, whatever's inside is what's going to come out. So if you find what's coming out of you most of the time is impatience and anger, you better be checking your level of love. You better check your level of love. Friends, if we'll break out of the cultural norm that says me first and deepen our love for God and for others first, we'll discover a great depth of patience that's not easily shaken. Let me rephrase this for you once. My lack of patience for others usually stems out of my deep love for myself. Boy, I don't know how that sounds to you. It doesn't sound very good to me. That idea doesn't set so well with me. Honestly, it makes me feel kind of slimy to think that my impatience is likely stemming over my overwhelming concern, my overwhelming love of me. The final way of developing patience is this. It's to depend on God. You have to depend on God. This takes us back to where we started. Real patience needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit because it's a fruit of the Spirit. We can do this thing that we've talked about. We can do the things we've talked about this morning, but you know, it's not merely a matter of human willpower. That won't get you there. You can't psych yourself up enough to say, I'm going to be more patient today if it's the last thing I do. Today's the day. I'm going to start being patient today, and I won't ever blow my top again. Friends, patience isn't about more willpower. It's not about wearing a mask or pretending. If you're a Christian who's filled with the Holy Spirit, the power to truly, genuinely be patient already rests within you. It's already been given to you through the Holy Spirit in your heart and your life. It's a matter of depending on the Lord and the Holy Spirit to develop it, to come out of your life. Patience is a form of faith. It's saying, I trust God. I believe that God's bigger than this problem, and I believe that God has a hand in all these irritations and that he can use them in my life for something good. Faith helps us look at life from God's point of view. Faith helps us say, God, what do you want me to learn in this situation? Not, God, why is this happening to me? Because of faith, we no longer need to ask God, why did I get a flat tire when I was on my way to this very important appointment? Or why is this person in the desk next to me so crazy irritating? Instead, we can ask, what do you want me to learn from this situation? What are you trying to teach me through this person that's cranking on my last nerve? Because friends, I promise you that there's more to it than just your perspective. Depending on God for our patience takes faith. You know what? Noah had to wait 120 years before it rained. 120 years, that's a long time to be patient. Especially when your friends and neighbors are likely calling you a crazy man. And you're known as the nut job of the neighborhood. 120 years. Kids, don't go too close to old man Noah over there because he's got a few screws loose. Abraham and Sarah waited 100 years to have a son. That's a long time to be patient. Moses waited 40 years in the wilderness and then spent another 40 years leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. A bunch of impatient people trying to be patient. That's a long time to be patient. Everyone in the Old Testament was waiting for the Messiah, the promised Messiah to come. In the New Testament days, the disciples waited 10 days in prayer in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to come. The Bible's a book filled with waiting. It's about waiting. Why? Because waiting demonstrates faith and depending on God. And that's where God wants us to be. That's what pleases God. When you depend on God, we learn patience. You may be going through a situation right now and you're saying, God, I'm just so worn out by this and so ready for you to take this away, for you to take care of it. And God's answer to you is, wait a bit longer. Just a bit longer. I'm developing in you something that's far greater than what it is you're going through. The finish line's in sight. Just hang on. Wait a bit longer with me and move forward. Because what's going to come is greater than what you're going through right now. Do you want to have patience that's empowered through the Holy Spirit to make you a calm person? Then hear me, friends. You've got to begin to surrender yourself and your self-will to the Spirit on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. It's about surrender, not will. Not self-will. It's not a matter of a strong will. It's a matter of surrendered will. Patience is absolutely achievable for you. I don't care where you're at in this struggle with anger and patience. I don't care where you're at. It's absolutely available to you, but you won't have it until you let it go to God. I've said this before. If you have the power to change the situation, then change it. But if you don't have the power to change it, then stop worrying about it. You'll just be worrying about something that you can do absolutely nothing about, and it's just going to rob you of peace. Let God handle it. And don't worry one more moment. He is able to handle it. I want to leave us this morning with this one really sweet story. There was once a dad who had a 3-year-old son named Brandon. And one day, Brandon, he sees his dad eating chocolate chip cookies in the living room. And he says to himself, oh, Daddy loves chocolate chip cookies with milk, so I'm going to get Daddy a glass of milk. And with that thought, Brandon goes into the dining room and he drags the dining room chair across the dining room floor and through the kitchen, leaving scratch marks all over the dining room floor in the process. When Brandon gets there, he puts it against the counter and he climbs up on the chair, hitches himself onto the counter to pull the cabinet door open, and wham, it smashes into the cabinet next to it and leaves a big gouge the size of a cabinet handle in that other cabinet door. How many of you folks here are already starting to cringe? To clench your teeth a little bit. Well, then Brandon reaches for a glass and he accidentally, in the process, knocks over 2 other glasses. They fall out and crash, tinkle, tinkle, glass all over the floor. But he's thinking, he doesn't care. He's thinking, I'm going to get Daddy some milk. Meanwhile, Brandon's dad is watching all this transpire, wondering whether he should step in and save the rest of the kitchen. And he decides for the moment to be patient and watch a little more as Brandon scrambles off the chair, dodging the pieces of glass, and heads to the refrigerator. He pulls violently on the refrigerator door until he swings it open, and it stays open, of course. And then he reaches in, puts the glass on the floor, and reaches in and grabs not the half gallon, but the full gallon jug of milk, and he rips the top off, and then he begins to pour it around the vicinity of the glass, even getting some in the glass, and the rest going all over the floor. Finally done, Brandon puts the milk carton on the floor, picks up the glass, runs yelling to his dad, "Daddy, I got something for you," and he runs in, and he trips going into the living room and spills milk all over everything, all over the floor, all over the sofa, and all over his dad. And Brandon stands up, and he looks around. He sees the broken glass, the milk everywhere, the cabinets open, the refrigerator open, his dad covered with milk from eyebrows to his toes, and he starts to cry. And through his tears, he looks up at his dad with a pained expression that says, "What are you going to do to me?" And his daddy only smiles. And he doesn't see a kid that's just destroyed the house. Instead, he sees his beautiful little boy who he loves very much. It doesn't matter what he's done. Brandon's dad stretches his arms down to his boy, and he pulls him in, and he holds him tight, and he says, "This is my son. This is my son." You know, friends, sometimes we're a whole lot like Brandon, aren't we? We may even be trying our best, but we still leave this wake of destruction and a mess along the way. And sometimes when we look back over the mess of our lives that we've left, we just want to cry. And we just want to say, how did this ever happen? How will God ever find me acceptable when I'm having a hard time finding myself acceptable? Sometimes I make such a mess of things. But listen, God's a Father who loves us even when we make a real mess of things. Some of you may need to hear that again. God's a Father who loves you even when you make a real mess of things. His patience for us is exceedingly overwhelming, isn't it? Exceedingly overwhelming. Well, I have some other news for you. He calls you to have that same patience. How can we become sharp and condemning so others so quickly when God's been so patient with us? And here's the really good thing. God's given us his own Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live in us and to empower us to live with this kind of patience that he has for us. It's a patience that learns to see things from others' points of view and see things through the perspective of God. It's a patience that finds a sense of humor even in funny things, even in the frustrating. It's a patience that runs deep with love, and it's a patience that depends on God. And when you leave here today, my question is, who is it that you need to seek forgiveness from for your lack of patience with them? And what is it that you need to do to begin to cultivate the fruit of patience within you? Friends, do the new by living a new patience. A new patience. Let's pray together. Dear God, in a room with this many people this morning, I don't have to guess it. I know that for some of us, this patience is a very hard thing. And maybe it's because we're struggling right now in a circumstance, and we're so overwhelmed by the circumstance that our patience is really being challenged. Or maybe it feels like a lifetime of impatience, where we've always had this short fuse and this big bomb, and we just haven't known how to escape it. It doesn't really matter if it's circumstantial now or feels like a lifetime. What I'm saying, what I know, God, for each person here is that patience is available. I've heard testimony from people who said, "I was an angry person. I was an angry person, and now I'm not. Now I have a peace and a patience that only comes from you, God. And so my prayer, God, is for those in this room who are just really struggling in this area right now, first of all, that they will have a sense of peace enough to know that, God, you can take it. You can create a patience in them that's not been there before. You're in the job of changing us and transforming us and making us new, and we can be different people as we do this new life with you, with your Holy Spirit in us. And God, there may be some others here this morning today that's like, I'm Brandon. Man, I'm Brandon in that story. My life has left such a wake of mess behind me that I don't know how I can even pick up my feet and move forward. And God, right now, you're saying right now, I'm ready to embrace you. Understand that forgiveness is right here for you. Just look up to me. You think you're going to find condemnation from me, but you're not. Just like that daddy in the story, I'm going to look down to you with an understanding heart. I'm only going to pull you in and hold you close and say, this is my son. This is my daughter who I died for and who I love. You're welcome with me. I'm ready to place my spirit in you. Maybe you've never embraced Jesus before, and today's the day that you need to do that. And just simply to say, Jesus, I feel a mess, but forgive me of all of it. Come into my heart today with your Holy Spirit and do a new thing. In the name of Jesus. God, thank you. We pray in Jesus' name all of these things. Amen. Go in the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control of God, the Holy Spirit inside of you. Go and walk and live it in the name of Jesus.